20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Well, welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. My name is Dan Connick, and we're one person short in our trio today. It's just me and my partner, Matt Fralick, today. Matt, are we going to be okay without Janelle? She's the glue.
We will.
Of this whole crew. But
Janelle holds it down. I feel like she talks you and I off a ledge once in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, in all seriousness, I like to joke around, but Janelle is missing because she has a parent coaches meeting tonight for the softball team she coaches. So I give her a lot of credit. Just it's another thing on her plate that she's doing. But it's that time of the year for me too, Dan. In 2 weeks, we have pitchers and catchers reporting for the baseball team I'll be coaching at Green Bay Southwest. So it's gearing up. Like, it doesn't seem that way, but like the weather, I don't know about in Detroit area or but
Green Bay, 55 today.
Yeah, so you're getting a heat wave that way. Ours is like 40 or 45. So it's one of the coaches yesterday. He goes, "Yeah, we're probably going to be like on the turf in the next week and a half." I'm like, "That's very optimistic." So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's just you and I holding it down. I think we can manage though.
We'll see what we can do.
For sure,
we'll muddle through and get something out here. Right off the bat, Matt. Before we got into the meat of our episode, I think we wanted to kind of address a few things floating around the Packer Twitterverse at the moment. Obviously we just wrapped up the combine, and so we're officially now in 100% off-season draft mode and everything that comes along with that, which includes free agency.
Rumor season.
That's the best way to put it. It's just complete rumor season, and really more to the point, it's complete BS season, because pretty much everything you hear is going to be BS. Mm-hmm. But it still has to be talked about, because, you know, I mean, some of it's going to actually come true. One of the big things, Matt, is the impending free agency of a couple of key Packer players, and Brian Bulaga's one of those. And the way that the weather vane is pointing right now, from stuff that we're hearing around the league and around the area, we'll give credit to the guy Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, covers the Packers. The topic came up with him, and he was kind of saying some stuff about it, of that it really seems like Brian Bulaga is going to be gone, at least from kind of the stuff that he's hearing around the league. And I know, you know, Matt, I'm sure you've seen it and I've seen it, all the, like, the different like polls and predictions of if you can keep this free agent over this one and this with this combo, who do you keep? And, you know, for me, I always felt Brian Bulaga was kind of the most important one. Mm-hmm. going into this off season. From what Matt Schneidman was kind of saying, again, not confirming anything or saying that there was any kind of real fact behind it, but just kind of the general vibe that he gets is that Bulaga probably played his last down as a Packer.
For sure. And it was basically like not what he hopes. The article, like, mind you, was not what he hopes the Packers will do. It's just what he thinks the Packers will do. Mm-hmm. And people, I'm not even going to really say who it was, but a lot of people took it and ran with it across the board. Packers Twitter, it leaked into like an Instagram account or two, and even some like across the board in Minnesota towards Janelle's way, some accounts. So it's one of those things where I think either Matt Schneidman said it in his article or even in the comments, it was, if we go like back a year ago, like everyone was talking about how like we needed to replace Brian Bulaga, and like Billy Turner was kind of the savior to that right side of the line. So it's mm-hmm. funny now to look forward and like you and I are in the same camp, Dan, of, yeah, I still want Brian Bulaga. Like, he was solid. He had a super good year. Like, the only game he really missed is he was actually active, but he was just sick. So it would be nice to bring back Bulaga, but who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? If they're going to, you know, they do have a little bit more flexibility with Billy Turner right there. If they slide him over to the right, they could get Lucas Patrick in there, play me on the right side to the right guard. Like, and Valdir, you don't know what's going on. So there's that possibility. But again, it's rumor season. That's SZN, rumor season. So all in all, like, Brian Bulaga is still on the team. Let's see what he gets paid. But Yeah, well, I'm excited for this episode, Dan. I think it's going to be fun to just figure out who knows what and who knows rumors and lies about the CBA.
Yeah, definitely. And that is our topic today. You know, for me, Matt, the CBA, it's that one thing that comes around. It's like the World Cup almost. You know, I don't follow – I follow English soccer and a little bit of, like, European stuff and some of the MLS. But, like, the national stuff, there's always stuff going on when there's not the World Cup. But the World Cup only happens every 4 years, and that's when you actually really start to care about it and learn about everybody. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the CBA is the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes around every 10 years. I don't really pay attention to it. And then every 10 years, I get, like – you know, involved with it. Well, I should say every 10 years, it's only really happened like this is like the second time when I've been, you know, able to really process what's going on. But you know, it's very juicy. There's a lot going into it. And I think that, you know, the idea that it only comes around every 10 years kind of makes for it to be a little bit interesting as well. And I think we wanted to kind of break down, you know, our look at what is being proposed right now. You know, look at it from kind of both sides of the coin, who it's benefiting, where it's kind of probably going to be some of the changes that we haven't seen yet. And then I think also too, we want to take a look at, the CBA from our perspective and what kind of changes would we make to it. If we could be in on the boardroom and have a chance to, you know, put something into the CBA, what is, that, you know, a couple of things that we'd like to see make its way in there. So, and before we get into it, Matt, I want to preface that if you're really looking to get super into what the CBA is all about, go find everything that Dominic Foxworth from ESPN has done, because, you know, that guy, he is, not only is he just plain straight up one of the smartest like people that I've ever like, you know, gotten to read all their stuff or just kind of get information from. He's super intelligent, but though he was in that, you know, all of those negotiations last time in 2011. So he's got the inside knowledge of how things kind of work and really take a look at it. So if you're looking for real in-depth stuff, highly recommend him. You and I are just kind of going off of what we've, read and kind of tried to figure out ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too, Dan. I want to like, again, if you want real hardcore data, like go find Dominic Foxworth. Dude is super smart. He's like with the NFL and the NFLPA, he's gotten involved with like the Senate and Congress before in the past and just legislation. Like he's an intelligent guy and he was a darn good quarterback for the Broncos for a while back in the day. But again, like we aren't experts and we're trying to fill it in. And at the same point, Dan, like there isn't a lot of hard data out there. It's a lot of hearsay. It's a lot of like, here's the 5, 6, 7, 8 things that everyone's talking about that is it's pretty much the owners from what it sounds like is leaking to the media, but we don't really know what the multiple hundred page document really looks like. And I think we'll touch on that a little bit as we get into it, maybe why the player reaction is as such, but no one really knows exactly what's going on right now because we don't have the full document. All we're getting is like, you know, 280 characters on Twitter and maybe a link from a different article that's all we're really gathering right now at this point for like hardcore data.
Yeah, definitely. And so the kind of the breakdown of it, if you still haven't kind of seen it or been familiar with it, the biggest thing is the revenue split, obviously. It could jump. What they're saying is that it could be up to 48% for the players. I think it was about 46%.
I think it's 46 and a half it starts at. And I think over three years, it goes up a half a percentage. So I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And so the big thing is that it you know, quote unquote, will give, or mean about $5 billion more to the players. The other big thing, actually, honestly, you could probably say it's the biggest thing, Matt, is the idea of the extra game onto the season, 17 regular season games, the change to the playoff format where more teams are getting in and only one team gets a bye. So So just as a you know, 1,000-yard view from this, what's your biggest takeaway from kind of the stuff that's getting leaked out? You know, what's, when you look at it, what do you look in and see like that really stuck out to you?
For sure. So first and foremost, yeah, like you said, Dan, the increase in profit is great. And the half a percentage is like, half a percentage isn't much. Like if you and I are going to buy a car, Dan, like half a percent, mm-hmm. we're like, eh, whatever. Like it's an extra $20 and I'm going to get like leather seats. That's cool. Like a half a percentage now in this revenue bargaining, what did you say it was? It's like, I think it breaks down to like $100 million each half a percent it goes up. Mm-hmm. And then that boils actually down to only like $70,000 per player per year. So it is a lot of money. Like I've never made $70,000 in my, like in a calendar year, but these players are going to be able to make, you know, additional cash on top of what they're already making. So that's important to note. And then it increases for 3 years, the half a percentage. So at the certain point, you'd be getting close to that, you know, $250,000 range over 3 years time, if you're still in the league. The right. second is the more games. Like, and that, this has been the push since, you know, 10 years ago. It was, you know, what are we going to do? 17 games? Is it 18 games? Do we get rid of two preseason games? Do we get rid of one preseason game? So that was kind of always on the table, and at least in the back of my head, like, okay, at some point it's going to happen. Like, I don't even think it was it's always been on the table. And that was one of the chips that the owners always knew that they would have, at least for leverage, you know, come now. Mm-hmm. But the one that's really kind of, you know, that you mentioned that sticks out to me is the expanded playoffs. Like that one kind of slapped me by the head. Like I didn't expect that. That wasn't anything I really was anticipating. I could, you know, and especially if you're combining that with the regular season extension, like that's an extra potentially two more games someone have to play if they made the wild card. And, you know, obviously they added the 17th game. That's just a lot more wear and tear on the body. The players are already concerned about that. And then, you know, branching off that, I did hear from Pat McAfee when I listened to his show the other day, I think it was like last week, he talked about the implementation of free healthcare. And then actually on former players being able to have access to that. And of course, you know, him being a former player and whatever, he's like, well, yeah, I would love that. But I, you know, I understand like there are reasons why, you know, getting this extra revenue, getting this free healthcare, it's not, you know, it's not apples to apples just when you're getting extra games. There has to be some other stuff within this document that we're not seeing. And that's the problem that we're coming across, is that there's players, I would say 95% of them are pissed off, and that we're talking the big hitters like JJ Watt, our beloved Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. Pouncey. I don't know if anyone saw his video, but holy cow, dude was amped. He was not happy about it. Go look that up. Richard Sherman obviously is always going to take the player side. He's, you know, it's safe to say he doesn't like business, you know, billion-dollar businessmen. Quandre Diggs, like those are just to name a few. There was one dude, I think it's the player representative for the Lions. Is it Kennard? He was like the one that actually wants for it, because he just saw the dollar, it seemed like. And then Richard Sherman got into his, you know, his Twitter replies, and I think they hashed it out. But that's stirring some controversy within locker rooms too, because like now you're splitting guys up. So go ahead.
Well, and on top of that, today, it was reported by Peter King, from the New York Giants, Nate Solder, the offensive tackle, came out and said that he supports what the proposal that came in the CBA now. So, you know, there is a split on this in the player's side of things, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. There's a lot of like crosstalk between, you know, players need to be completely 100% one way or the other to show solidarity. But I mean, this is a negotiation of, you know, a labor agreement, but probably in the, you could say is the biggest labor agreement in the country at this point, mm-hmm. you know, with all the money that's going between so few of, you know, employees. So I think dissent and disagreement is good for the conversation. You know, for me, I think the biggest thing that came from it again was that, you know, there's this push to add more and more games, but there's really no like give back on the owner side of that from the game side, which really kind of makes me question how badly they want 17 games? Is it more just a bargaining chip kind of thing? Because, you know, there's really no benefit for the players, because it just adds to the risk of another injury. There's no extra bye week to compensate for the added game. And the game check is capped at $250,000, at least for the first couple of years, as they, you know, kind of prorate the contracts out and everything. So at least for the first couple of years, you've got a lot of these guys like Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, guys that are on the last, you know, part of their career. You know, by no means are they hurting for money, but they're the ones going out there and putting basically their career on the line every single time they go out and play the game, because it honestly could be the last time every single time for some of these guys, and they're going to be making less money in these next couple of years, which could be really the only years they have left. So it really makes me kind of wonder how much this is actually something that they really want, because there's really no much benefit for the players. And you know, like I just, you're always just looking for the piece, like what's the other piece.
I think that's just what we're missing right now, Dan. Like, why, like, I don't see how, like, you're adding more games, right? And get that, and I'm like, I'm in the camp of, like, I love football. I understand the health risks that go behind it. And I think everyone that plays football at this point, we know what the health risks are behind it. It's not really smoke and mirrors anymore. So I think we can understand, like, football's great. I want more football. But at the same point, like, I'm not the one strapping up and going to play. However, I'm going to look at the player or the actual human being and be like, I don't really think you're getting compensated that well. Like, the extra money is great from revenue, but at the end of the day, like, you're going to play, let's just say you play eight more years, right? You play an extra, you know, you start right now, you're drafted this year, and let's, obviously they're not installing the CBA this year. It'd be like following year, even 2 years after the fact, once you have the 17 game, like you, so let's say you're a rookie in 2022, you play 17 games and then your team makes the playoffs. And, like, you multiply all those extra games you'd have to play if you were drafted maybe 10 years prior, it's going to add up to multiple seasons. Like, it's going to be a season and a half. Like, you're taking money off the table that you actually could have made in a yearly contract. And, like you said, like, what, it just doesn't seem apples to apples. Like, it's, something's missing. And it clearly seems like it doesn't really balance out if all these players are saying no. Like, if it was more of a majority 50-50 split, I could maybe see maybe that they're just, maybe guys maybe want to be more greedy, they want more compensation, they want, you know, private jets like Roger Goodell tried to get. Like, at some point we have to get all the data collected to see really if it's fair. And I'm not going to read the whole report, I'm just going to take the blurbs from it, but it just doesn't seem like it adds up right now.
Yeah, and the thing too is, you know, we can't speak for what the players actually value. You know, like, if we're looking at it as an outside observer, like, the extra game, it seems unnecessary from a health risk. But to them, it honestly could, like, they really, you know, couldn't care, you know, maybe some of them. Like, they see that extra money and they say that it's worth the risk to, you know, to make that happen. So, you know, we can't necessarily just, we can talk about this, but, you know, we can't just say blanket, like, you know, it can't happen because of health risk or shit, because some of these people, you know, it really could, you know, benefit them on that side. And the thing too, I think we have to look at, Matt, is the timing of this, because, you know, it's kind of, Dominique Foxworth was mentioning in some of the stuff that I heard, was that, you know, it really seemed like it came out of nowhere. That this, you know, all of a sudden, here's the CBA proposal. You know, there was there wasn't a lot of run up to it, and you kind of wonder, like, why, the reasoning behind that, and the idea is that, you know, the kind of argument is that they're looking to nail down broadcasting contracts, you know, for the next couple of years. And honestly, I think, Matt, just from kind of my layman perspective on this, I think that that really – that putting it out this early kind of favors the players a little bit more because, you know, you and I both work in, you know, marketing, media, all of that. You know, we were kind of talking about that before we came on. You know, it's grown. The advertising and media area has grown significantly in just the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And – It's very likely that in the next 5 years, the landscape is going to change immensely. I mean, 2 years ago, we didn't have YouTube TV and Hulu Live to watch sports, you know. And I think from the NFL side, I think they want to nail down these contracts now before things change, before the landscape changes even more. And they're in a worse position because, you know, yeah, it's 20 months from now before the CBA expires, but the landscape could vastly change in just that time. Yeah. So, I think that the onus is more on the owners to get this done rather than on the player side. And I think that works in the player's favor because the players can say, you know, we don't care if we're playing on, you know, YouTube or Fox or whatever. Like, we're still going to make, you know, basically the same amount of money. So I think coming out this early, it really favors the players.
Yeah, they don't care. Like, if it's going to be broadcast on Amazon Prime and I have a Prime account, like, I'll watch it, but they don't, it doesn't really make a difference to them. And Pat McAfee was talking last week in this episode I'm referencing just about how 10 years ago, how the NFL really had a really good PR run at this. That kind of breaks down into like our realm, Dan, a little bit of the marketing campaign of where the NFL was kind of viewed it as or transitioned the blame to the players, where although the owners were like locking them out or not letting them in the building, it almost seemed like the players were on strike then. They weren't entering the building, they're avoiding it, but like in reality they couldn't. And just it seemed like whoever acted first last time, which it was definitely the owners, that now it's kind of a power struggle. You're trying to figure out who has the power. So initially it seemed like it was the owners that started bringing this up to, like you said, negotiate for the TV deal, the broadcasting deal, and whatever else may develop. Like, who knows, maybe 5 years from now we're viewing games on TikTok. Like, that could be. Maybe there's a new app. Maybe there's a new app that comes out that we're watching on there. Or maybe TikTok's just like, you know what, I'm going to take your game, your 2.5 hour game, I'm going to crunch it down into 20 minutes because I know the attention span of everyone in this world. So who knows? But at the same point, like, they have to get ahead of the curve. And I think the way the players have at least tried to combat that, even though I don't think they've done it correctly, and I'll explain why, is the players have at least started talking about it and getting it out in the open and communicating with each other. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem that they're actually like telling us why, like what's wrong. Like, do you want an extra half a percentage per year? Mm-hmm. Do you want, you know, X, Y, Z? Do you want, like, you have to kind of, like, in a negotiation, like, it's fine and dandy to you know, say you don't like something or you like this, but, like, you have to tell us specifically what you, I guess, not us, but for us as fans to want to always take the side of a player. I'm always probably going to take the side of a millionaire over a billionaire. That's just me. Like, tell me why Aaron Rodgers, tell me why JJ Watt, you don't like this. Like, give me some substantial reasoning behind that. And if they were able to do that, I think that would give them even more leverage over the owners.
True. Very true. And, you know, it's still, like we said, it's still very early on all of this, you know, but just kind of the initial responses that, you know, the owners very clearly have a impotence to get this done quickly, and the pushback from the majority of the players is, let's pump the brakes on it. We're, you know, we want to make sure that this gets done correctly.
And one of the players, and I mean that loosely, like in quotes, players, not a football player, one of the players within this whole thing is like the referees, like those poor guys, like, where do they even stand right now? They're not even full-time employees yet. Like, they haven't been, as far as I know, I don't think anything happened in the last few years that I've missed. But, like, these poor guys, like, Tony Romo signing $17 million deals. Players are getting an extra seriously. $250 million. And, like, the referees are just thrown under the bus habitually. It's terrible. Like, there should be something for these guys and women. Like, there's got to be something that the NFL needs to do for them.
Well, and I wonder, too, if, you know, with everything that happened this year, maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment. And also, too, maybe this isn't something that can be negotiated in a CBA. But, you know, how many times have we seen players come out after controversial moments that you know, referees didn't make a call or decided not to go to, you know, the review, or, you know, even with the new pass interference this year, you know, how much is that an issue for players in the upcoming CBA mm-hmm. of, you know, maybe there's something that the players want more control over what's getting implemented into the game each year in the rules committee, or, you know, something like that. You know, I think there's a very symbiotic relationship between the referees and players in kind of that sense, is, you know, we're both here to make the game work, and, you know, let's help each other do that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So let's get into the hypothetical realm, Matt. Let's sit down at the bargaining table, you and I, mm-hmm. and we've got a front row seat here to everybody. You know, you're sitting in front of Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell and everybody else, and you've got, you know, 2 minutes to give your elevator pitch for what you want in the CBA. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm giving the leeway of, you know, even stuff that will never be implemented, you know, whatever it is. Like, you don't need to be presidential about this. You get three things. What are you putting in? What are you proposing?
You have me go first? Because I'm anytime we do these, Dan, I feel like you have better ideas than I always do. So I'm going to go first. I swear, like, I'm not even – like, I just – every time I forget something. Like, and I'm always like listening with everyone else. And you guys have some creative angle that I just completely miss.
I'll go first if you want.
No. You can trump my points. So the first one I want to see is kind of branches off the free healthcare. I think that's great for the players. We've obviously seen just how detrimental it can be to the health. And if you watch the Aaron Hernandez documentary on Netflix, you mm-hmm. even know how much just how wild the football can play a toll on you, even if there's other things going on in your life. But I think next to healthcare, most importantly, is like an accounting and sort of an investment situation where I don't want to say players have to pay into a trust fund and they get paid out, because I know there is something set up like that. But like, let's give these guys a chance. Like, if they don't make it in the league after the first year or two, like, give them some sort of backing through the NFLPA, through the NFL, like, former players situation, where they're able to at least have some backing for, you know, a year or two, 24 months, whatever it is, where they're, you know, help getting, you know, their money managed. I know there's some things in place like that, but let's really make it a personal level. And maybe they're just like life skills, like something, how to apply for a job, mm-hmm. do a resume, network, you know, learn these soft skills that once you're, let's be honest, like once you're 30, like you're probably out of the league. Like that's really what it comes down to. So let's see these guys be able to maybe become a Dominique Foxworth of the NFLPA. Let's see these guys that are, you know, taking on different initiatives. So I think that's just overall like a health and wellness and accounting invest, something around that angle. The second thing is, I believe this was talked about right when it came out a couple of weeks ago, but just the legalization of weed. Like, I think to this point, if we're suspending players for this, it's asinine. Every time it happens, there's a joke about it. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there is definitely a conversation we had between medicinal marijuana use and habitually abusing substances. And I point towards, you know, I hate to call them out, but Josh Gordon, like they're, mm-hmm. or even there's another player, it's slipping my mind, but where they're just consistently not only, you know, smoking weed, they're drinking excessively, they're doing other drugs. Like, I think there just needs to, let's just get one of them off the table. Like, let them use weed. If they're using, you know, pot before games, like, whatever. I think that does put them at risk just for some other situations. And I don't think they're going to be handling things as properly, but some people have, you know, build a tolerance. So let them have that. And I think that'll just eliminate some other issues as far as the prescription pills that they're on, the yeah. team's and, push and all that.
And, you know, and that got pushed out there is that was part yeah. of the CBA stuff. So I think that's not, you know, completely off the wall.
For sure. And then the third thing, I think just let these players have some damn fun. Like, really, like, let stop with these rules of, like, you can't have custom cleats during yeah. games. You can't wear, you know, whatever it is. I don't think you should be wearing $250,000 watches, Odell Beckham, but at some point, like, let him wear something that's a little flashy. Like, let him have a towel that, you know, they're like, let him have some fun. Like the NBA, lets these guys do all this stuff. Like, you're trending more and more towards the MLB, where it's like, it's that old headed mentality where it's, again, no fun league. Like, I don't know what that entails, and I know you have to, you know, draw a line somewhere, and they have brought that back a little bit with celebrations. That was cool, but let's, like, again, let's let them have custom cleats. Let them raffle those cleats off. Like, let some of that money go towards charities. Let them give back to their communities or their neighborhoods they grew up in or the school they went to, high school, middle school, college. Like, let them do what they want. Let them market themselves, and, like, don't think every single time that J.J. Watt's out in the press or – Odell Beckham's got some shoes on, like, that it's just a negative thing, and you have to get some percentage off that NFL. Like, let them do their thing, let them market themselves, and let them just have fun, and it's only going to just drive attention from people that normally wouldn't be NFL fans or football fans to the sport.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, that it's almost like one of those no-brainer things where, like, you don't need to do anything if you're the NFL to be making money. You wake up and you're going to make money as the NFL. Let the players handle themselves, kind of thing, and take that marketing aspect out of your hands and let them advertise that game for you. You know, that totally makes sense. Okay, so here's what I've got, and I got a little I got a little bit more in depth.
You did. See, I knew it. Like, I'm glad I went first.
Okay, so not like in depth in, I guess, like terms of details and everything like that, but I got okay. I got a little bit more money focused on it.
Okay.
So the first one, when I was reading about this, it's really the first time I can remember like hearing about this and really kind of maybe comprehending what all it was, but the fully funded rule of the NFL. Where basically it's, you know, when you give somebody a portion of a guaranteed contract, they have to take the money that isn't being paid yet, that's still guaranteed, and put it into escrow. So that cash still sits there in the bank, and it's not there, you know, as a cash flow for the teams, which, you know, is kind of an excuse that can be pointed to for NFL teams to why they don't do more guaranteed contracts because it ties up a lot of money in escrow. And, you know, there's really not a need to have it around anymore because these teams are very profitable. You know, there's really no chance you're not going to make payroll for anybody that's guaranteed at this point. So that was kind of the first one up front that I think is a pretty easy one. And from some of the stuff that I was reading from different people on ESPN and SB Nation and stuff like that, it seems like that could be one that is actually addressed and really taken care of. The next one is the one that would never fly ever. But penalties for owners and teams that take public money for new stadiums and upgrades.
Ooh,
okay. So another thing that I was, you know, kind of reading up on is that owners have the ability to take some of that gross revenue that comes in that they split between the players and put it towards renovations for stadiums and upgrades. Obviously for the owners, that's a important thing for them. You know, they want that extra piece of money that comes in off the gross side of things, you know, to help out their stadiums. But then, you know, they also will turn right around and still, you know, bilk cities out of millions and billions of dollars for these stadiums that they don't really necessarily need. And so I think, you know, proposing a rule or having a rule in place where if you're an NFL owner and you go to a city and, you know, you want the city to pay, you know, property taxes or, you know, do this, this, and this, then you forfeit some of the money from that revenue deal. Obviously, again, it would never fly and you'd have to put a lot of things in place to prevent loopholes and things like that. But You know, just in a theoretical world, having that kind of setup in a CBA, I think would be beneficial more for, that's more for the fans, you know, and again, that's, you know, the players don't have a vested interest in that. They don't really care. And the owners obviously wouldn't want that. But that's, you know, just something that if I was there, I'd like that.
Okay.
My last one, this is my in-depth one. You're going to follow me with it.
I'm ready.
18 game season.
Okay.
Here's how it breaks down. I want 3 blocks of 6 weeks. All right?
Okay.
Everyone gets the same bye week. You know, everyone's getting the same bye week at the same time. You know, I think it helps eliminate schedule things between teams. I think it makes kind of it compartmentalizes the schedule. And I kind of really like that idea. It goes back again to like English Premier League. They have these kind of built-in two week-long breaks, you know, for players to go play internationally. But for in this sense, if you're putting on extra games like this, I think you have to build in these bye weeks for every single team that happen at the same time. And it's a way, I think, for players to plan around a recovery process. Teams can, you know, plan around, you know, players coming back from injury. If you have some kind of major injury happen near the end of one of those kind of 3 week blocks, you have an extra week to kind of prepare or make changes to prepare for the rest of it. I think it adds to the suspense of the season. To really stretch this out even more like this, because think about, you know, you get to the end of this, the second, you know, block of games here. Well, now all you're going to spend the whole week is talking about the next 6 games for everybody. And you're getting basically like a mini off season where, you know, the players are getting the benefit of not working, but you're still generating content and, you know, news around the team, around the league, which I think is a win-win. And the thing that I think works out best for everybody, players, fans, everyone, the third part of the season is the week of Thanksgiving. So you come back out of the break and your Thanksgiving games are the kickoff to the end of the season, ooh, right?
Oh yeah. I like that.
Think about that. Now that's good marketing. 6 weeks plays out till about your last games of the first week of January. I think you take a bye week after that last week for everybody. And then you play through, this is assuming, you know, no change to the playoff format.
Right.
So you play through the rest of the off season as normal, bye week after the championship games. And at least the way it worked out for next year, Super Bowl Sunday would be the day before President's Day, which is already a federal holiday. So there's a pretty darn good chance. That your Super Bowl Sunday is going to be right before an already federal holiday. So there's no more question of do we make it a holiday or not. Now, with the way the schedule works out, there's a pretty good chance it's already going to be a holiday.
Oh, man.
And so that's my pie in the sky schedule.
I like it. Like I was ready to counter your like where they have the breaks, but I wonder, that might work good. And then could they possibly do like a tryout period with like the XFL guys, like implement that and maybe if they want to sign, but the back end of the schedule, holy cow, like the Thanksgiving Day, like the President's Day, like dang.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can use those bye weeks, you know, as a kind of a natural point for, you know, the trade deadline or, you know, other major milestones in the season. I think it really works out well. And, you know, if you're going to add these many games, I don't think you can just flippantly give teams 2 bye weeks, like in kind of their schedule. I think it just makes so much more sense if you're going to make it this kind of big, stretch it out. There's no need to cram all of those games into that kind of, you know, week by week by week. Like I think there's enough of an appetite for football that fans will take 2 weeks off and, you know, and be okay and satiated with the idea of looking ahead. So that, that's my thoughts.
I knew you were going to have better ideas than me. That's just what, that's what you just do. It's fine. I'm okay. Yeah, see, I accept it. I understand at this point.
I only have better ideas in this scenario because Janelle's not here to one up me, because we know Janelle comes in strong with all this stuff as well.
Fair. So. That's fair. That's a fair point.
So obviously, you know, there's going to be way more coming out about this in the next several months. I think it is going to be an issue that gets pushed, especially after the draft and we move into full off season mode. We'll probably see a lot more of it. So I personally, I'm keeping my eyes on it. I find it super interesting. And I think we did a good job of just kind of breaking this down, and it needed to be discussed, because I mean, even the next week or two, we're going to hear, you know, a full official vote on the CBA. So
exactly. Yeah.
So, obviously, you know, at the point of the season we're at now, the draft is the king of everything. We finished the combine and, you know, we just got the message, the trumpet sound from Andy Herman that, you know, we're in full on draft mode now today. So, you know, stick with us here at the Pack a Day podcast as we get ready to fully jump into the draft and fully, break down everything that comes along with that. There'll be player breakdowns, position breakdowns, mock drafts. A shout out to the guys too that did the listener mock draft. I thought that was really well done. I'm looking forward to way more content like that next couple of weeks. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But as we wrap up, Matt, where can people find you out on the social medias?
For sure. Yeah, I do most of my damage Packer related or sports related or really just hot take anything on Twitter. You can find me at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA. You can also find Janelle Mackey, who's not here to pump good herself, at BigMac_4. That's BigMack_4. Dan, where do you do all your really good stuff?
I tweet really stupid things. And a lot of GIFs on Twitter at DK all the way. If you want to follow me there, Matt pulled receipts on me the other day.
I did. That was really off the top of my brain too. Like I had edited the last episode with Marcus Eversole. Everyone should go listen. But yeah, when I was editing at the end, I'm like, God, that was so funny. And it just like just the way you said it, it was ingrained. So. That was good. It was good.
Yeah, good. And then obviously, of course, here at the podcast, follow us at Pack a Day Podcast for all the information on there as well. Like I say every week, make sure you like, subscribe, rate, review the podcast, tell your friends about it. You know, as you get ready for the draft again, stick with us the next couple of weeks. But until next time, we'll have Janelle back with us. We'll do the trio again, and we'll be able to do a three-person Go Pack Go. But for now, it's just two Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.